Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Thomas Schwenk, Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine at UNR, for the whole show on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Thomas Schwenk. He is Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine at UNR. Pleasure to have you on the program. The irony is we are both recovering from colds here.
So please
bear that in mind as you listen to us.
We are not immune.
Not at all. So the first question I want to ask you was, and this is a typical problem that's occurring now, I have friends that have just moved back to Reno from Oregon, and the first thing they said is, we need to get a doctor.
That's right.
And they're both at Medicare age, and the first doctors they try to communicate with, sorry, we're not taking any new patients.
Right.
How are we dealing with this situation, and how bad is it going to get before it starts to get better?
I get that question myself frequently from people who inquire, someone who thinks the dean might be able to help, and I don't have too many answers sometimes, although I do sometimes try to make arrangements with our faculty members who do see patients. But it speaks to the larger issue of primary care access in particular. I think Reno in general is fairly well served on the specialty side. We attract specialists, very well trained, fellowship trained in other parts of the country, who come in and see this as a very attractive area to practice. But the primary care side is really weak. The quality is good. What we have is great, just very inadequate numbers for a variety of reasons. Primary care in general is a problem nationally. Primary care is a problem in underserved areas, rural areas, underserved urban areas. So we're part of a larger issue, but it maybe is a bit more acute here relative to specialty access, in most specialties being fairly good. So that's what we're all about. That's what we do at the School of Medicine, which is to focus in particular on primary care, both on the training side and the number of students we put into primary care residency training, and our own primary care programs themselves, so family medicine, internal medicine, psych, geriatrics, and the services we provide. We are primarily a primary care clinical practice. We have about 70 physicians, mostly in family medicine, internal medicine, and psychiatry. And this is our big issue right now as we come out of our 50th anniversary and look to sort of the next phase of growth and success, it's going to be all about clinical care delivery, reaching out into the community, training more students to go into primary care, training more primary care residents, expanding our primary care residency programs. That's going to be a hugely dominant part of our strategy.
Okay, so is the money there in terms of income for primary care doctors to attract them to this field? Because when I talk to primary care doctors, they're making it, but barely.
Yeah, it's a problem. There's significant discrepancy between primary care incomes and specialty incomes. Earlier in my career, and that career now spans 40 plus years, there were some discrepancies, but not as great. And so there was more opportunity for students to seek careers in primary care. Now the discrepancies have become pretty significant. So we have to work on that. One of the good things that happened in the legislature recently, the last session.
Oh, there is some. Okay, great.
Yes, I thought you'd like that. Support for some loan repayment funds. So the state has appropriated some funds that will draw down a federal match, and we will now have a much larger pool of funds from which to draw to provide loan repayment for primary care physicians who serve in underserved areas, underserved both rural and urban. And not surprisingly, perhaps, a number of areas in the Reno-Sparks metropolitan area do qualify as health professions shortage areas. And so we will be able to provide some loan repayment. We're also trying to focus on scholarships that address students who will go into primary care and eventually practice in the area. So we're trying to hit it on both ends of the pipeline, but income is still an issue. Medicaid reimbursement, Medicare reimbursement, which are major payers for primary care, is in fact a problem. So there are some realities out there.
But is Medicare in a better situation as far as reimbursement than Medicaid?
Yes. Medicare is slightly better, but relative to commercial payers, both are still fairly weak.
There was a hospital that was featured on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago where a donor came up and came to a graduating class and said that I'm going to take care of all of your payments. In fact, the hospital itself, I guess, is taking care of all of the medical payments because they just felt that it was ridiculous to burden people, young people, with such high costs coming out of medical school.
Right.
And that this would allow them to be able to go into a career, concentrating on that career rather than on the fact that they had X amount of $100,000 worth of payments to make.
There are two or three medical schools. Cleveland Clinic has a medical school that is tuition-free and focuses on clinical research. Kaiser is just starting a new medical school in California that will be tuition-free. And most recently, NYU.
And that's the one I'm talking about.
Right. Just developed donor support to make school tuition free. It's a noble exercise, not something that most schools can do. And it's not without controversy. So the issue for NYU, for example, when they announced this, they said they were doing this so as to encourage students to go into primary care. It's not clear that that's the point in the training pipeline where you want to do that, because in fact most of the students will not end up in primary care. There are many other forces at play, student interest and specialty opportunities. Technology is very exciting. There are lots of things that attract students to various careers. So just to be blunt, most of those students at NYU who are receiving a tuition-free education are not going to end up in primary care. And many people said you should really do it on the back end, do it on the loan repayment, and do it when they actually are practicing in primary care, do it when they actually commit to a primary care career, when they actually go into an urban or rural underserved area, then repay their loans and make them debt-free.
And to an extent, that's what's been done in Nevada, correct?
Well, we're trying to do that, but it's still small compared to the tuition burden. Now, the reality is that our tuition, our in-state tuition for public school is relatively modest. Students don't feel it that way, but it is still modest.
Right.
And our debt load when our students graduate is less than the national average. We do have scholarship support for roughly a third to 40% of the tuition overall for our entering classes. It's not insignificant, but it is still an issue. The problem is, it's real hard to have this conversation with the public, because the public still sees physicians, no matter what specialty, as being well paid, and to have students complain about debt when they in fact have a very comfortable career ahead of them, sometimes is viewed as a little unseemly, and it's a hard conversation.
Yes, but I mean, as time progresses, if we don't fix this, then they're going to deal with the fact that they're going to try to go to see a doctor, and they're either going to have a substantial wait,
right?
As in other countries where you have, like Great Britain or Canada, mm-hmm. Where you know, unless it's an urgent situation, yeah. It may be literally months before you get to see.
It is, and we have that issue here in terms of access. It's not all about money, though, and I would emphasize that really long-term career satisfaction. Certainly debt and income play a role, but it has a lot to do with the nature of the practice, how it's supported, electronic medical record stresses, regulatory stresses, insurance stresses. A lot of the primary care satisfaction has to do with whether you as a primary care physician can really do for your patients what you need to do. If there are so many constraints, insurance constraints, reimbursement constraints, co-pays, other constraints that keep patients from being able to follow through with your recommended treatments, it's actually a dissatisfier for many physicians. And so I certainly want to work on the income side and the reimbursement side, but I also want to work on the clinical practice side. What is it that's satisfying about that practice? And what can we do to make it more satisfying? And what can we do to simplify the system, to deregulate the system, to make insurance support more universal, in a sense, to provide support for the kinds of things that people really need to do?
You know, and that's interesting, because I've not really heard anybody else bring that point up, because people talk about the cost of medicine, they talk about the cost of prescription drugs, and people cutting pills in half, etc. But they don't really talk about decisions people are having to make, yeah. Which is, do I follow through with this treatment?
Yep.
Can I afford it?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And As a primary care physician, a family physician, if I work really hard on behalf of a patient to do the right thing, to develop a treatment plan, the treatment plan will include lifestyle modification issues, exercise issues, diet issues, medication issues, maybe some specialty referrals, maybe physical therapy, for example, some other health modalities, and the patient can't follow through on that for a whole variety of financial and regulatory reasons, it's very demoralizing for physicians to have put all that energy in, and then to have outside forces keep the patient from really achieving the level of health that we all desire.
One of the other things that occurs to me that has become, and maybe always has been a problem, is that when primary care doctors are dealing with people who are A, hypochondriacs, and B, lonely, where the doctor is a source of either, I have all mm-hmm. these issues, doctor, please look at them, mm-hmm. and no, that's really not a problem, that's your fingernail. Mm-hmm. Or I'm lonely, I'm coming to you with all my illnesses, which don't actually exist, because I'm lonely and I need to have human contact. Mm-hmm. And that is using up valuable time and resources that would otherwise be utilized for patients who actually had, and I don't want to say that loneliness isn't a real need, and hypochondria isn't a real need, but that one is possibly curable, mm-hmm. the other one is a social issue.
Well, I think what you're touching on is the larger systematic approach to health, in which there are certain medical decisions, medications, surgery, referrals, imaging, treatments of various kinds, but there really is a whole wider world of social determinants of health, which is the hot issue. If you talk to a Medicaid insurer, for example, a plan that manages Medicaid patients, and you talk to them about what do they need to do to help their patient population be as healthy as possible, it rarely has to do with medical decision making, with medications, with hospital admissions. It has to do with childcare and transportation and access to safe exercise and better access to better foods, the whole food desert issue where people just have no access to good food shopping. That's what those plans work on a lot. And I think physicians actually are coming to understand that that's part of our role on a team basis. That's not my area of expertise necessarily, but I need to think more widely about these social determinants, all the other things that factor into that patient's health, for which I have some at least partial responsibility, and I can get patients connected to other members of the healthcare team who are really expert in those areas. And then once in a while, I jump in with my medical expertise to make certain medical decisions or certain medical recommendations. But you've touched on a huge issue. Loneliness is a huge issue in our society that's receiving a lot of attention with regard to how it affects health.
Well, and social media is not helping because people have this belief that they are actually communicating with people through social media, when in fact it's a subset of strata that used to be the letter to the editor. Then it became comments on a news story in a newspaper and then blossomed into social media. Mm-hmm. People saying things. I get phone calls. I've been a broadcaster for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I expect to get phone calls, emails, mm-hmm. etc. Please keep doing it. I respond to everybody. But the number of times people will call, and you know they don't actually believe that you're going to listen to their message mm-hmm. or read their message mm-hmm. because the things that they say are insane. Mm-hmm. And then they don't leave a number, because if they leave a number, I will call back and have a conversation with that person, and you can tell instantly that there is shock that somebody would respond. So social media in many ways is the exact opposite of human contact.
Yes, it actually separates people and keeps people from actually having meaningful conversations. But loneliness is a big issue in healthcare these days. There's a lot of discussion about that.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dr. Schwenk when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Thomas Schwenk. He is the Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine at UNR. Telemedicine, it's the hope of the future. Especially for people in rural areas, but it's going to be for everybody, because that's the only way we're going to be able to deal with this increasing population. For example, I mean, I know that you're in Northern Nevada, but Las Vegas is going to go from 2 million to 3 million people mm-hmm. over the next 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And Northern Nevada is growing at a dramatic rate as well. It's the real hope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny you mention this, because it's actually kind of popped up on our radar recently through various means. And I've sort of dug into it a little bit. I, in fact, was on the phone yesterday with the chief medical officer of a national telemedicine service that has, I think, 2 million subscribers. Quite often it comes through an insurance plan, so an insurance plan will add this as a benefit and then contract with a national firm. And because of various regulations, you have to have doctors licensed in every state from which a patient will call. So this company has physicians actually in every single state because they have to match the source of the patient with the source of the advice. And so I've looked into this a little bit. It's actually very interesting because if you pick the right types of problems and have a kind of a structured approach to how you assess various types of minor illnesses, so respiratory infections and urinary tract infections and various types of pain complaints, and you have a fairly algorithmically based approach where you really try to get the best evidence, the best practices, you kind of put it together into a structured way, you can provide some really good care for these more minor illnesses, and you can sort out the patients who really need to see a physician, perhaps even more urgently, or maybe even the emergency department. So if it's done in a structured way like that, as opposed to just kind of a random, you know, video or telephone consultations without much backup, if you do it in a real structured way, it can be very effective.
You know, one of the things that has struck me as very useful is that insurance companies are utilizing registered nurses mm-hmm. that you can now call and get information. So instead of having to go to that primary care doctor, which may be a 2, 3, 4 hour length of time, you can now make a call to your insurance company and talk to a registered nurse and yep. get the, because I mean, so many of us who, you know, I mean, we're not doctors, so right. we got a pimple, a rash, whatever it might be, we just need somebody to call and say, what do you think?
Right.
And you can't do that with your doctor's office.
Right.
I think this is an incredible asset that I'm not sure how many people are really utilizing.
Yeah, it shows up in lots of different ways. In various specialty clinics, you'll have nurses or PAs or nurse practitioners doing that. It speaks to the issue of the general concept of patient navigation. In prior days, we made the assumption that patients were their own navigator, that they would seek out care, they would find their way through the system, they would describe their needs, the system would respond in some way. What we sort of missed over the last 20 or 30 years is that that medicine has become so complicated.
Oh my goodness, yes.
The system has become so complicated, and medical problems have become so complicated. The nature of medical problems themselves, chronic disease management, diabetes, hypertension, the follow-up of oncology patients, for example, a whole world of oncology patients who are now surviving but have a whole host of needs along the way. And what we've suddenly realized is there needs to be an intermediary here between the patient and the system, is someone who basically steers them through all the various complexities of the system, starting with kind of entry with, I have this symptom, I'm not sure where to go, to I'm in the system, but it is so complicated and I'm getting bounced around from physician to physician and service to service, and I just am totally confused. Now, again, speaking as a family physician, that's what we do sometimes, but you actually need another layer in there, as you've described.
Okay, let's take one more break and then we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
We opened our first shoot back in 1919, and it's been a wild ride ever since. Come celebrate 100 years of Dorito Rodeo.
We'll be right back.
It's a big damn deal.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Thomas Schwenk. He's the Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine at UNR. I want to ask you about physician's assistants. Should people be concerned about that they're not seeing the doctor?
No, but it depends on how it's organized. So this speaks to the issue of team-based care. Medical care is so complicated, you need people from many different health professions. I've practiced with the PAs and nurse practitioners my entire career. Social workers, dietitians, pharmacists, physical therapists, they're all needed. It's a question of how it's organized. I don't think that you should schedule an appointment with a physician, think you're seeing the physician, and find out you're seeing the PA. That's not the way to organize it. But if it's explained properly, it says, look, your problem will best be addressed by a PA who has all of my expertise, all of my recommendations, can make a perfect assessment here. If he or she needs me, I'm available, but this person is the right person for this particular problem at this particular time. That's the way team-based medicine should be practiced.
That's where we have to leave it. Always so many more questions to ask.
We'll come back
soon. Thanks. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.